We've all been there. You've written all of your whole group lessons for all of the subjects that you teach in a week, and now you have to write your small group lessons too. Gosh, that's a lot of lesson planning. You are exhausted, but you know this is important. So how can we get this done while keeping it simple and effective? In this week's episode, we are continuing our conversation on small group instruction, and specifically, we are talking about creating a fabulous small group lesson plan that will help you and your students. Let's jump in.
Welcome to the Teacher Time Podcast, a space where teachers are empowered to take control of their prep time so they can enjoy their time off guilt-free. You know how teachers are always working long hours? Here, we're changing that norm together by tackling your biggest productivity questions and planning challenges. I'm your host, Stephanie Polovchik, kindergarten teacher, toddler mama, and your very own productivity mentor. I know what it takes to get your important tasks done so you can consistently work your scheduled hours as a teacher, and I'm sharing it all with you here. In this community, we believe that you can be an effective teacher without sacrificing your free time. So let's ditch that constant cycle of overwhelm for teacher time strategies that work. Why? Because your time matters.
Hey there, teacher friend. Welcome back to the Teacher Time Podcast. This week, we are continuing our conversation about small group instruction, and specifically, we're honing in on how to create a lesson plan for those small groups. So if you missed last week's episode, I'm going to link it in the show notes for you. We talked about five strategies that will save you tons of time and energy when it comes to small group instruction. So that was more of like our big picture episode. And this week, we're just kind of focusing our attention in on lesson planning for a small group specifically. So I want to lead by saying that small groups are a really important aspect of teaching. They allow you to meet with less students at once so that you can give them more of your undivided attention, and you can then differentiate to really meet their specific needs. So we all know that students come into us and develop their reading or math skills at different paces, and it's our job to target our instruction in a way that meets them where they are so that we can help them make the progress they need to make. We have to teach our grade level standards, but you may have students who have not yet mastered some key skills that they need before they can conceptualize those grade level standards. So that's where you fill in your gaps, is within those small groups, right? And then it's the same thing with students who maybe are already meeting certain standards. You can then enhance their learning experiences by providing them with lessons where you move them further along. And then, of course, this isn't something that you would necessarily do with your entire class of students, but you can then do that in a targeted small group. What we don't want to be doing is meeting with small groups for the sake of meeting with small groups, because it's something we're supposed to be doing. We want to be meeting with them with the goal of helping students understand and apply a specific skill that they need in order to continue to grow as readers, as writers, as mathematicians, right? But I know, and you know, that small group lessons are just one more thing on your plate. You already have to write your whole class lessons. Plan the independent tasks for those. How are you going to keep them engaged? Include assessments. It's a lot. So the question I want to help you answer today is, how can we streamline your process for planning small group lessons so that they're purposeful and effective, but also don't take a ton of your time? And you guys, I think after 9 years of trying, I've finally figured it out. So what I'm sharing with you is a simple framework for planning your small group lessons. Again, we touched on this just a tiny bit in last week's episode, so you can tune into that for even more strategies that will help you with your small groups. And this week, as a reminder, we're picking up with, okay, we understand how to group our students and some other important tips about how to utilize assessments to guide our instruction in a simple way. But what do we actually do with them once they are at our small group table? So I have broken this down into five sections. So there's like five parts that we're going to cover within our small groups. And so the very first thing that we're talking about is having an objective. The very first thing on every single small group lesson plan should be what you want your students to learn. What do you want them to understand, to practice, and to be one step closer to applying independently at the end of this small group lesson? Now, it might be a reteaching time. It might be that, you know, they're not going to necessarily master it within that one or two small group lessons, but it's a space where you can introduce a skill and really practice with them in more of a guided sense. And then by the next week, they're able to hopefully start applying it with more independence. Now, if you're stuck when you're thinking about an objective for your small groups, think about the end goal and then break that down. So I have an example. If I have a group of students who know their letter sounds fluently, but struggle with blending multiple sounds together to read a word, I am not going to put a book with multiple sentences in front of them right away. My goal with them would be to help them, number one, segment the sounds in words orally. Number two, blend the sounds in words orally without like looking at a letter. So for example, if I said, okay, the sounds in the word are k, at, what word is that? I would want them to then come back and tell me cat. Then I want them to begin to blend the sounds when looking at two sounds. And in particular, I'm going to help them do this with continuing sounds because those are easier to blend. So I'll give you an example for any of you who may be working on this exact skill with your students, right? So like for students who are struggling to blend sounds together, they can hear them or say them separately. Like maybe they're looking at the word cat, right? And they can say k-at, but then when they go to put it together, they say something like cap or can, right? They're changing that ending sound. We've all seen this. Those students need to practice blending less sounds together, right? And so the way that we do that is we help them with sounds that are continuing. So maybe we do, app. Well, app is a stop, but anyway, I'm thinking off the top of my head here. And then, so then once they can do that with two, then we move on to three, okay? So really focusing in on what are the skills that they are needing to strengthen before they can then go ahead and read a decodable text, right? So here are some other examples of objectives, I should say, that I would likely keep for a week of small group lessons because we can't expect our students to master those skills within one single lesson, right? So example number one, students will blend single sounds into a word orally. And here's a math example since I've been focusing a lot on reading. So here's a math example. Students will use one-to-one correspondence to count sets of 11 to 15 objects. It's very specific and it's focused in on what those students need. With that objective, you would think, okay, the students in that group need to focus on one-to-one correspondence, particularly with teen numbers, sets of teen numbers, before they can do that with any number above 15, right? Okay, so of course, very first thing we're doing is having our objective for our small group lessons. And then once you know what the end goal is, that's when you can jump into the components for your actual lesson. And for every small group lesson, we always start with a warm-up activity. And the purpose of this is for students to practice previously learned skills. So I want to repeat, this is not a time to practice new skills. This is a time to practice previously learned skills. And so for this section of my plans, I actually pre-type several options for a group, and then I check off the ones that we're going to do for that lesson. And this saves tons of time because I'm not sitting there like thinking off of a blank page, what what are we going to do for our warm-up? No, I'm looking at a small list of possible warm-up activities that we might do, and I'm checking off which one or two we might do for a warm-up. Because again, this is a quick activity just to kind of get their brains thinking. It helps with that retrieval practice, so their working memory, right? So it's a really important thing, and it just kind of gets the ball rolling. But in our reading or our phonics groups, this would be like a phonemic awareness warm-up. And in math, this might be oral counting or number recognition. So it's really focusing on like phonemic awareness and or fluency. Again, depending on the skill, but it's always going to be something that students have already learned how to do that they don't need instruction on in order to practice that retrieval and continue keeping those skills in practice. So like I said, the warm-up activity should be quick, 1 to 2 minutes maximum, but I definitely suggest, write this tip down, is to pre-write some activities in your warm-up section of your lesson planning template to help save you time. And if you don't have that already set up and you're like, can somebody just get me this template for me so I don't have to spend time doing this, I actually have a small group resource pack which has templates for your small groups, whether that be 2-day lesson plans, 3-day lesson plans. It's got a meeting schedule. It's got a grouping page, notes and observations, like literally all the things that you need for planning your small groups quickly, but none of like the extra stuff. So it's pretty great. I'm going to link that for you in the show notes. Anyway, all right, next section. So once you know your objective, your warm-up activities, the next part of your small group lesson is where you're actually doing the teaching, right? And this is similar. You're going to find this framework is very similar to any whole group lesson too. This is the new skill or the teaching point. So I always write what skill I'm teaching them. For example, sticking with the phonics example, I might be teaching CVC segmenting and blending. And as I said before I have those students segmenting and blending with written words, I want them to be able to do this orally, and they might need a lesson on this in a small group. So if they're not already reading at word level, I would start by modeling, saying a word, and then orally tapping each sound. Next, we would map the sounds in the word with different colored tiles, pom-poms, or other manipulatives. So this looks like they say each sound one at a time and move that manipulative, one manipulative, into a sound box to represent that sound. During this teaching time, I'm modeling and maybe having them try one at a time to get a feel for what we're doing. It's very much me modeling and guiding them through the understanding what the skill is, right? Because before we can expect them to do this on their own, they need to see it, especially with our younger students. I mean, all students need explicit modeling and teaching, but especially with our younger students too. Okay, so next section. So let's just run through this quick. So we had, okay, state your objective, warm-up activities, teaching new skill, and now we're on to the practice activity. So the practice activity is really an extension of whatever I was teaching, right? So in the example I just gave, that would mean students would be practicing what I just modeled. I'd give them a word, they'd tap the sounds, map the sounds with the manipulatives, and say it. And then maybe if they were ready for it, I would have them, after they map it, maybe I would have them write the letters in there, depending on the group and their needs, right? Another idea for a math lesson would be if I was modeling one-to-one correspondence, right, for counting, they would then practice. I would give a number, and they would count that many items. The important part of the practice time, though, is that you are supporting your students and not expecting them to necessarily do it completely on their own yet. So you're giving them like prompts to help guide them, and you're allowing them to have maybe like a little bit of productive struggle, but not to the point of frustration. So how do we make this planning portion easy so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel for what you're going to do when teaching and practicing? Again, this is where you're going to have a little checklist of practice activities that you might do that could work for multiple skills. So same thing like with the warm-up activities, but you would have a list of, hey, here are some things that we might do during the practice portion of our small group lesson. You can check them off, Or I always have a space where like, we're actually going to do this instead. So because you never know when you might come up with another idea, or maybe, you know, students need to do something that's not on your list. So let me run through a couple of my favorite ones for our literacy small group. So tap, map, say, which is what I kind of just ran through. Tap, map, write. We might rainbow write. And I like to, when we rainbow write, I use the screen. So if you ever went through like an Orton Gillingham or other like multisensory phonics training, that's where I got those from. Well, that's where I learned about them from. We actually then ordered them off of Amazon. I can link that in the show notes too. But I love that because it's multisensory. It gives them just like a different feeling when they're writing the letter or the word or whatever it may be over top. We might do sand writing. We might do like a find the letter. We might be reading words and nonsense words. We might do a word sort. And we might be reading a sentence or reading a book, right? It really just depends on the group. So when you're setting up your small group lesson plan template, I want you to jot down some possible like go-to activities that could be used for various skills. And when you lesson plan, pick a skill that fits well, or of course, always have a spot for like other, because you know, not everything is going to, you're not going to be able to list every possible thing that you can do in your small groups, but just having that checklist is going to save you so much time and energy because you'll be able to look at it and say, okay, what is going to help my students meet this objective? Okay. We are now on to the final section of any small group lesson plan, and that is to do just like a quick closing activity to recap what you learned and, you know, something that will just help you assess whether or not your students are getting it. So this always helps me. Of course, like the independent/guided practice time helps too, but then this is just like one more quick check, and it can be informal or more formal. So here's an example. You might have students write a letter or a sound. You might have them segment the sounds in a word for you, write a word for you, you know, respond to comprehension questions. I clearly have literacy on the brain as I'm running through these examples for you, but maybe you want a math example. Okay. Maybe you want to have them write certain numbers. Maybe you want to have them solve a computation problem, you know, things like that. Anyway, so just like something quick to say, like, are they getting it? Are they getting what I'm teaching them? And that just always helps inform your next steps. So, okay. We've run through a lot of things. I want to quickly recap what we talked about in today's episode. So we talked about having a really simple framework for planning your small group lessons so that you can get them done faster, and planning your small group instruction doesn't feel like another daunting thing on your to-do list after you've already written all of your whole group lessons for all of the things that you teach, right? So we ran through like the five essential things that you need to have on your small group lesson plan. Number one, an objective. Number two, a warm-up activity. Number three, your new skill teaching point. Number four, a practice activity. And number five, a closing or assessment time. If you have not yet checked out my brand new small group planning pack, you are going to want to check that out. It has totally editable resources in there that will help you implement everything that we talked about in the past two episodes. So you can grab that at the link in our show notes. And like I said, if you haven't yet listened to the first episode on small groups that we did last week, go on back and listen to that. I'm going to link that for you too. Just all the small group goodness we are talking about this week. Make sure you tune back in next Tuesday for another episode of the Teacher Time Podcast. I'll see you then.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what we talked about here and want to connect further, you can find everything you need on my website, www.teachinglittleleaders.com. And if you loved this episode in particular, share it with your teacher friends by taking a screenshot and posting to Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at Teaching Little Leaders so I can see it and reshare. I'll see you next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week.